Welcome to the ESFFL podcast for week 10. Today's guest is George Clark of the Wilmington Penthouse. George, you are definitely one of my favorite guests here on the podcast, so thanks for joining me this week.
Well, it's always a pleasure. This tune is music to my ears, so I know how much you love it.
That music just cues you right in as to who the guest is going to be, and we go from there.
It's very descriptive, yes.
So on this week's podcast episode, we're going to discuss Hunter Henry and George's patience to hold on to him earlier in this season. We'll talk about George's long-term relationship with one Julio Jones. It goes back several years now.
All the way to the beginning.
We'll talk a little bit about James Conner and how much longer he might be able to play before he goes on IR.
Wait, do you know something I don't know about that?
That's my prediction.
Didn't he practice?
We'll talk about that.
Okay.
And we'll also take a peek at your matchup with the Buffenhoff this week. It is game of the week in the ESFFL this week.
Really?
It is.
Wasn't that just a game of the week last week?
No, I think it was two weeks ago, maybe. But this is a big one in your division for division supremacy there.
I like the spotlight.
I don't remember the name of your division. I don't know if you remember.
No, I'm not.
No, I don't either.
It's like the E. Whatever one starts with E.
Yeah, I forget that guy's name. Anyway, we'll take a look at that matchup quickly. But before we get started, I want to go back in time to last year's championship game where the Penthouse lost for the first time in the championship game in three appearances to the Cool Springs Cockatiels.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like they just wouldn't be denied. So can we talk about that, or is it too painful still?
Still hurts, but I'm willing. I'm on the sofa here, so
you
maybe,
can persevere.
Maybe I can do a little
you did
therapy
show
session.
Up.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, the one thing, you know, I was just going to ask, like, what do you think went wrong last year?
Tight end. Okay. Always. The bane of my existence in this league has always been my lack of having a quality tight end. I've spent two PRD draft picks on tight ends, and neither of them made it to my team the following season. So I think I probably won every single positional category in the championship game, but lost so badly in the tight end spot that and if you haven't glanced at this year's roster and noticed that I carry three and sometimes four tight ends, that is a new strategy to combat how bad I am at picking tight ends. I'm going for quantity over quality. Just have as many as I can and hope one of them does something each week.
Right, and last year the situation was the Cockatiels had George Kittle, who had, I think, a record-breaking year. I think he set the record for most yardage by a tight end in a single season. And I think, did Ertz set the record for most receptions by a tight end? Or he set the Eagles' record for most receptions. But a couple of
Good ones.
Unbelievable campaigns last year from the tight ends, and Kelce was his normal self. But if you didn't have one of those three,
you
were not in
every
good
week.
Situation.
I couldn't name who the tight ends were in the championship game on my team.
They were Vance McDonald and Cameron Brait on your side.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. they strike fear in everyone's heart.
I think in the second week of the championship game, I think Kittle scored something like 17, and McDonald scored either 3 or 4.
Yeah, it was close going into the second week, and I lost because of Kittle's huge week compared to my tight end.
Yeah. The other thing I noticed was the Cockatiels picked up C.J. Anderson, and who thought C.J. Anderson would be putting up 17 points in the in week 16 or whatever it was? That was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to use this stage as a platform for George's change request 2.0. We had lots of discussions in the offseason last year, but I'm not a fan of allowing people to pick up players in the playoffs. And I'm not saying that it was a great pickup. He was well within the rules. I could have done the same thing, and I've certainly benefited by it, but I don't know. You make the playoffs and then you ride with whoever got you there. So
that's the way it used to be in the early days of the league. We did not allow free agent changes. But then, and I can't remember the exact details. I remember it was a quarterback.
Okay.
Someone had two quarterbacks, and they both were injured, in the first week of the playoffs. And then they didn't have them for the second week. We came up with rules around if that certain situation happens, if two guys are questionable or worse, then right. you could make a move. But it became it became very difficult to there was a lot of gray area around right. what could be a replacement player. It became difficult to enforce that or to facilitate sure. that.
And so we just made it easy. Don't get me wrong, this isn't sour grapes. I had Kareem Hunt when he got kicked out of the league, picked up Spencer Ware, and then when he got injured, pick up Damian Williams, and I was one of the few still active, so I was allowed to pick him up, which is another kind of unfair advantage that I could have protected him this year. Yeah. He's not as good as everyone kind of thought he was going to be, but he got serious consideration from me as being one of my five protected players, and I only had him because I was still alive last yeah. year when he became good.
Yeah, so. There were a few teams saying, hey, I didn't have the ability to pick up Damian right. Williams.
Right.
You know.
So. Yeah, but enough of that. Yes, yeah. Great move on the Cockatiels part. That was certainly beneficial to them. I think they also picked up Robbie Anderson, who had a great game in one of those 2 weeks. But I lost because his tight end killed my combination of poo-poo yeah. platter tight ends.
Yeah. yeah. So speaking of tight ends, one of the things that I found interesting from what the Penthouse have been doing so far this season is the fact that you held on to Hunter Henry. True. Even though he had an injury, which I think it was after week one, and I think they said initially it was like a 4 to 6 week injury.
True.
So that's a pretty good period of time to have to hold on to someone. You know, so I just wanted to get your sure. thoughts
well,
around that.
Yeah. Two reasons, and one we've touched on, my tight end stink. So getting rid of one who was of his quality, I felt he was worthy of holding on to. Two, one of the things that I try to do in this league is differentiate myself from the other teams.
Yeah.
This kind of goes back to my argument around points not necessarily being the true indicator of a better team, because I'm trying to be different. I'm trying to, yeah, we can all go out and pick up Chris Godwin and Kenny Golladay, and great, we all have the same great guys. How do you win the game? So I wanted to be different, so I felt like everyone was cutting him. Everyone was like, oh, I can't hold on to him. I'm going to wait it out. If it costs me a win here or there, in the long run, points are more of a deciding factor, and I'm going to have a player that I can set myself apart from some of yep. the other teams. And yep. so that was there's a little more patience involved this year as opposed to just getting rid of people altogether. I kept Michael Badgley for
yeah.
8 weeks as well until I finally was like, all right, this guy's never coming back.
Yeah.
And then he came back the following week.
So looking at it now, that's a great strategy. At the time, I was thinking, what is this guy doing? Hunter Henry.
Because I was not even paying attention.
Well, I was in the same exact position. Not okay. exact position, but I had Hunter Henry as well. Mm-hmm. I quickly made the decision, if he's going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks, plus he's coming off the injury from last year.
Sure, sure. It was scary. It was a chance.
Yeah. And I saw this guy named Mark Andrews out there.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, he looks like he could be legit. So it's not a big risk dropping Henry.
Right.
But now that I look at it today, I think you're in better position with Henry than the rest of us who picked up Andrews.
Well, and again, it goes back to my core.
What have you done for me lately, Mark Andrews?
You have to be different. Everybody was going to pick up Mark. I looked at it and I was like, 16 people have Hunter Henry. Nobody has Mark Andrews. 15 people are going to come and pick him up, and I'm going to be right back where I was. We're having the same team as everyone else and not really different from anyone. So
yeah,
I took a chance.
So another one here, Julio Jones. We've talked about him going back from day one of the Penthouse.
It's true.
He was the cornerstone of your franchise. I did this exercise. I don't know if you know that I did this or not, but I did this exercise over the offseason. I looked who has the longest tenure. What player has the longest tenure with one single team?
Okay.
And, you know, not just one player, but right. what players have had the longest tenure.
Okay.
And your tenure with Julio Jones is out of current players that right. are on rosters currently, he has the second longest tenure on any one team.
Okay.
On the same team with the Penthouse. And that goes all the way back to 2012.
Okay.
Same player, Julio Jones, goes back to 2011 with the Red Raiders, formerly the Earlville Destroyers.
Got it.
So he has
Julio. Well, he's just so. Every year, Jeff, I come into, I look at my keepers and try to build a team, and I try to get rid of them. And I go, okay, I can't have Julio this year. He costs too much. I like all these other wide receivers, and then in the end, he's just so darn consistent.
Yep.
Even when he stinks, yep. he still puts up a ton of points. And if you, I mean, I have what I considered at the start of the season the three best wide receivers available: DeAndre Hopkins, Devontae Adams, and Julio Jones.
Yep.
I was set. I didn't even pick any other wide receivers. And when Devontae Adams got injured, I said, I'm not even picking anyone else up. I've got Hopkins and Julio. They'll carry me. I'll be just fine. And it worked.
Yeah.
None of them had any buys until this week. And I had plenty enough people to start.
Similar to what I did with running backs. I had three running backs, Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, and Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, why do you need any more?
Why do I need any more?
You can't afford any more.
Well, until, you know, I wasn't sure about Dalvin Cook, but I was like, I can pick someone up, you know, if he gets injured again or doesn't perform. But once Dalvin Cook was looking good as a solid, you know, starting running back on a team that's getting him the ball and scoring touchdowns, even when Saquon Barkley got injured, I'm like, I'll just ride this out.
Yeah.
You know, we'll ride this out. Safe. Ride this train.
Well, and they cost so much when you have players like that, that you really, you're kind of pigeonholed into, well, I'm spending $15 million on three wide receivers. I can't justify spending any more money.
Right. I'm not going to spend another $2 million on a Chris Godwin or whatever.
Loved him
this year.
$2.5 million. Would love to have him. He's great, but I couldn't do it.
All right. So, by the way, since I did this exercise, I just want to say that, so 2011 and 2012 for Julio Jones on two different teams. The next longest tenure actually only goes back to 2015.
Oh, okay.
And there's a couple players there. Aaron Rodgers with the Filipinos and Todd Gurley with the Galloping Scallops.
Oh, okay.
So those two players and every other relationship has started in 2016 or sooner. So it's interesting to see how quickly players turn.
I mean, Julio, I mean, again, he's just so consistent. But there was that one year where he was missed, I don't know, 6, 8, 10 games that I had to hold on to him. That was the lean year of my franchise. And a lot of it was, okay, I'm not going to go anywhere. And so I'm going to hold on to this guy so I have him for next year as well.
And just to put this in perspective a little bit, since you since Julio Jones has joined your team, Chris Bowen alone has done 17 podcasts. So
you didn't even do podcasts then, did you?
Yeah, we even do podcast. That was the pre-podcast era.
So think of, yeah.
All right. Impressive. So one more quick topic here is James Conner.
Yeah.
And
you scared me.
Great player. But very much an upright runner, takes a lot of hits, and I don't know. I just had this bad feeling, and I have no reason. I couldn't get him because he was reserved, and was drafted before me. So I didn't even really consider picking him up, but I just had this bad feeling.
Okay.
And I'm going to knock on wood for you, George.
Thank you. He's not as good this year as I had hoped. I thought he could lead the NFL in touchdowns. I really thought he would be phenomenal. He's been okay. But he also only costs $2 million. So for what I pay for him,
he's definitely a good value.
He's been fine.
Good value.
He's certainly, along with Saquon and I have Josh Jacobs, there, I'm fine from a running back standpoint. I didn't like when he ran out and holding his shoulder a couple games ago. He didn't play last week. He was the same thing last year, though, and that was another thing that, I'm not going to say it cost me in the championship, but he didn't play.
Yeah.
I had to pick up Jalen Samuels, and then he was injured, and I had to pick up Benny Snell, whoever. I think I was carrying three Pittsburgh running backs in the championship game, which is why I couldn't afford to pick up a guy like C.J. Anderson, because I was using three roster spots to shore up one kind of position to make sure I had something, and so that certainly... Stupid championship game.
Keep coming back. And I don't have anything against James Conner. It's my assessment. He reminds, I don't know if you remember Chris Brown of the Titans from the early 2000s. Same type of like a tall guy, upright runner, took a lot of hits. Never played 16 games in a season.
Well, Eddie George used to run like
kind
that
too. Kind of faded out.
Eddie George may be the exception.
Eddie George is pretty good. Yeah. All right, so just a minute or two left here, George, in the podcast, but I want to get your thoughts on your matchup with the Buffenoff this week. By the way, Buffenoff, also one of the James Conner owners.
Oh,
really?
Okay.
I think it might be just you two.
I was the only, shame on the league, again. Yeah. I was the only one who
who picked him up
picked
last,
him last year.
Year.
I had him to start.
You sniffed out the Le'Veon Bell situation.
Yeah, as a Le'Veon Bell owner, I knew I wanted that insurance. And so these guys must have picked him up this year in the draft.
Randy picked him up in the PRD, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're smart. The two guys with James Conner, if he doesn't play this week, it doesn't hurt you that bad because it's going to hurt the Buff enough just as much.
Just as much, okay. Yeah. So I Hopkins is on bye this week. Connor is a wash. I assume they probably have Saquon as well. So we're looking at an even matchup. Everyone in the league has Kyler Murray and Jacoby Brissett.
The Buff enough do not have Saquon Barkley.
Really?
Okay. No. David
I'm shocked
Johnson.
When I find a team that they don't.
He's got Leonard Fournette on bye.
Okay.
David Johnson, Singletary, Connor, and Ty Johnson of the Detroit. Now, of course, this is pending any free agent moves. Yeah, all right. Well, we got to turn that baby back on because it's almost time to play the outro. But
okay.
Final thoughts,
that's
George.
Warning. That's the warning
final
buzzer.
Thought. That was the warning buzzer. Warning,
happy where I am. Two games left to play. I know it doesn't say so on the standings, but I'm pretty sure I clinched a playoff spot. So just looking forward ahead
Not officially clinched, but looking good.
Okay.
Looking good, we'll say.
We're looking good. Okay.
League offices have not validated
they
that.
They haven't validated it yet.
But we'll get to work on that. We'll take a second look.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. It's always a pleasure to be here. And good luck to everyone else the rest of the season.
Thank you, George. And you've listened to this podcast in its entirety. Kind of stinks the speaker doesn't work at this point, but...
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Was that your... That's the timer. George, you've talked for too long, and this is the end of the podcast.
Evidently.